I think we start with like a something like that.
Oh shit, I opened mine already.
Just see where the night takes us. Yeah, you know what I mean?
See where the energy goes.
Just gotta let it flow, man. Don't resist the current.
Yeah. I got myself a seltzer water over here and feels like I'm not matching the vibe of the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a week of beer ending days, I guess, at this
rate. Hey, I mean, at least it's Friday, right?
Is it? I don't think it is.
It's not. It's Tuesday. I'm real sorry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It means I got like 7 more of these.
It's simply only just begun.
Yeah, that feels about right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I am driving for to a different office tomorrow, so I have 40 to 50 minutes sitting in not Boston traffic, Rhode Island traffic, which I don't know if it's better or worse, but it is still traffic. And
it's at least different?
I guess. I don't usually sit in traffic, so that's kind of the negative there. I usually just sit on train, not in traffic, and it's much preferred than
on train seems better.
Yeah, on train is nice.
In chair at home, I feel like is primary, and preferred. Then followed by train.
Yep. Because on train is just in chair at home, but moving.
And pants.
Yeah, and pants. Correct, yeah. Yes, and pants. But in car is moving, pants, and also surrounded by crazy people and steel bullets that want to kill you. So
yeah. Yeah. And you got to pay attention the whole time.
Yeah. Hopefully this will be an adventure where I have to pay attention because I'm driving at more than 25 miles an hour. But there's no promises of that.
You should like leave now?
Maybe.
Sit in the parking lot?
Maybe.
Is there less traffic?
Best, really.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, traffic. Traffic. That's what you come.
Do you know where you're going at least?
I have not been there before, but
so you get that on top of it too.
Yeah.
Like the vagueness of I need to get to this place at a specific time.
Yeah, and the general
conditions.
The general untrustworthiness of like GPS going to an office that's like part of a campus of other buildings.
Uh-huh.
Like, who the fuck knows? Like, are you gonna get there? Who knows? What parking lot do you go in? I don't know.
I will. I will be doing none of that.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming this update works, I guess. If this Windows 11 update bricks my work laptop, then I will also be in traffic tomorrow. So maybe I should shut my mouth on that.
You shut your damn mouth. Cursed Windows 11 is finally coming for you in the worst possible form.
Yeah,
you thought
it's on
avoid it.
Catherine's machine already, and I hate it there. I hate it every time I interact with it.
Yeah, so what could go wrong?
I'm sure having it on my work machine will be super chill and welcome.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Oh my god, it's almost October.
Yeah, is that the new deadline?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Seems like they're not pushing it back.
Yeah, not anymore. They did it for like 7 years, and now it's time.
Yeah, there used to be like some amount of concern for the user experience, just generally in the world, and that seems to have gone by the wayside in the last handful of years. So
I think all the people who had concern for the user at Microsoft were let go 3 rounds ago. So.
Oh, yeah, minimum.
At least.
Yeah. It's not great.
No.
Maybe we'll be doing a switching to Linux series. That's great.
Hell yeah. I can't say that I'm Linux curious, but I am curious about your switch to Linux, let's say.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm like very slowly building. Have we talked about how many damn computers I have now?
No, we haven't. I keep seeing pictures of possible auction computers that you buy, and I don't know how many of them make.
Oh, I have another one. We'll see. So,
hey, Logan, how many computers do you have?
I'm gonna need you to go ahead and define computer for me if you want me to answer that. Let's see. Are we counting like Arduino microcontrollers or Raspberry Pis? Any of that ilk?
No, I don't think so.
So like Windows capable devices.
Yeah. Thing what takes a mouse and has a display and will boot into an operating system actively and is not just a beginning of a project, I would say.
Oh, I mean, all of these are the beginning of a project in a way. Okay, so there's my Windows per desktop, laptop.
Yeah.
There are now 4 desktops about 3 feet to my left. In varying states of functional. I have not tested them yet.
What brand are they?
They are, those ones are HP.
Okay.
There's another mini desktop somewhere in here. No, I know where that is. Okay. What's that, like 8, 9? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
There's another one that I have a $5 bid on right now that I think I will probably get. That's another
single computer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a really good deal on these 4.
What's the made by date on those 4 you got there?
Oh, not a clue. They have 8th gen i5s, I think.
Okay. And we're on 14 now?
14? Something like that? They're 7th or 8th gen i5s.
Okay. Do they still have a disk drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Crucially, they do.
Is there FireWire on the back of that battery?
No.
Nothing fun.
We're well past that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Let's see. When did like the 400 or something come up? That had to have been.
Ooh, what color is the plastic?
They are metal. Metal black.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of silver plastic on the face.
Okay, and the operating system and component stickers, are those still on there?
Windows 10 would be.
Sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I think some of them still have Windows 10 installed, which is pretty neat.
Interesting.
So I might be able to do something with that. There's varying amounts of RAM in all of them.
Okay.
From 0 to 8. I think maybe one of them has 16 actually. 500 gig hard disk. I did not know they were going to be hard disk. I was hoping they were going to be SSDs. So I have some small SSDs on the way to swap out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet.
Okay. We'll that see. Was my next question. Are these the projects? Are they backups? Is this the beginning of a server array that you're making? You still have that rack. Do you have anything? Did you do anything with that rack?
Oh, that rack's still empty. That's fine. Okay. You don't look, these projects all happen on like a geologic time scale.
Oh, of course.
You've been around long enough. Yes.
I know how this goes.
Yeah. I'm good at buying a thing now that will be very useful in roughly 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And it will do nothing in the interim, typically. Yeah, like 2017, those processors came out,
okay.
Give or take.
That's not bad.
That's not unreasonable.
I had expected these computers. I think one of the links you sent me before was for a series of like 8 compact PCs, both a brand that does not exist anymore, and also, I assume, were the computers we used in high school.
That was the one that...
Yeah.
That was the one that got a comma in it or something. Like, that one went for...
That one went for...
With all the fees, we figured out it was over $1,000. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Through some what I'm assuming is accidental auction shenanigans.
Yeah, because what was that? It was a bid that was started low, and then it went
immediately
from $7 to $810 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So my working theory is that there were two people who rely on everyone else in the auction to keep them honest, and they encountered each other in the wild, and some poor schmuck bought a like a 15-year-old compact desktop for $1,000 because
it's so good.
Yeah. So that I'm not that guy. At least I did that. I've done that twice in the Grand Exchange, and I remember both times, and they still hurt. So,
and that's just fake RuneScape money.
Yeah, dumb stuff with funny money. That's what it's there for. So you become far more cautious with the real stuff.
Yeah. Oh man, that because it jumped. It was like it was like $7, and then it jumped almost more than tenfold in a hundredfold in like a matter of seconds or something
in
right?
one bid. Yeah. So the way the bidding process works is there's a for this particular site at least, there's a starting amount that is set by the auction house. Depending on the item, usually it's like $5. And when you go to place a bid, there'll be a minimum threshold that you have to get over to place your bid, which is whatever it currently is. And then you can tell it a maximum that you're mm-hmm. willing to go up to. So what I think happened is the first person who got there put in a minimum bid of $5 so they could start winning the item. And they put a maximum in of like $650.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
On a 20-year-old desktop, which is a dumb thing to do. But if you're like, man, I really need this desktop, and I can't imagine anyone's going to bid more than like $50 for it, and I don't want to spend $50, but I will, and I don't want to have to come back and check this thing ever again, so I'll just put it in for $600, and that way I know I'll get it for sure.
Yeah.
And then a second schmuck did that same thing right after them, is my assumption. but for even a bigger number.
Yeah.
So what happens is that person went to go and place like a $6 bid, and... I think they actually went back and forth twice. They placed
they did,
it went like 5, 8, 10, 700 or something like that.
Yes.
So that the second person probably came in and was like, okay, cool, I'll throw $10 on this. Oh, I didn't get it. Okay, I'll throw $15 on this. Oh, I didn't get it. Screw it, $1,000. And since schmuck number one already had a max in at like $650, that means
it just defaults individual to that value.
That means
plus
$5. That, plus, at that point, 50, because that scales up. The minimum increase scales up with the price of the item as well. And then there's like a tiered system for a percentage cut that the auction house takes as well. So yeah, that auto bid would have gone in for the first person at like $650, and then the next person who typed in like 1,000, it would have come back at 700, and there it sat. No one went over that, weirdly.
And there's no takesy-backsies on
there's,
that, right?
They're like, very explicit about how little takesy-backsies are allowed. you have to click a lot of things to place a bid, and all of them are about no takesy-backsies.
Cool.
And then each auction, also the very first item on every auction page is a practice item that does not exist. It is not a real thing. And it's like, hey, we know that bidding on things is like complicated and scary. So just go buck wild on this practice item because it's not real. And then you get used to the UI and you don't accidentally buy a compact computer for $1,000.
Yeah.
Terms and conditions state that you can do takesies backsies if you type the wrong number in. But there's many hoops to jump through, and none of them can be jumped through if the bid is made within like the last 3 days of the auction or something. And this was all, 8 hours out of it ending. So,
oh, it's so good. Technically,
I
have the listing up here, and it is a lot of two compact 6200s.
Oh, okay. Hey, so, unit price just got cut in half.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Use
that's not
fair
too bad.
Condition. Personal inspection is highly encouraged.
Power sure
cords
is.
Not included.
Ooh, that's for that kind of money. You'd think they'd at
you'd
least throw
think.
A power cord.
Yeah. First, yeah. Okay, so here's the entire bid history on this.
Okay, I'm ready.
$5, the initial mm-hmm. bid.
Standard opening. Yep.
Then the next amount was $6. Same
yep.
initial bidder, and then I went up to $7. Same initial mm-hmm. bidder. and then it went to 810.
Yeah. Okay. Separate. So, so that was the like 567 was the second person just upping it by one, and then the computer bidding for the first person to get over it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that person was just like, well, if $1 at a time doesn't do it, watch me put a comma in here.
Yep. Turns out
that'll get you into trouble.
Yeah. Woof.
I got all four of mine for $26. So
nice.
That seems fine. There will be at least two functional desktops out of here. I think they're probably just going to be replacing Google Chromecasts.
Okay.
Throughout. Or maybe we set up some kind of LAN thing with like Halo 1 or something.
That sounds all just right.
Get like six machines running that in the basement.
Which crisis can it run?
None, I would guess.
Great. I would love to play Crisis at 3 frames a second.
I would guess none. yeah, maybe we do something dumb where we just try to see how, like, where the threshold for playable really lies.
Yeah. In
some of these old games.
Yeah.
What can you do at a 10-year-old processor with no GPU? And, like, I don't know. Maybe I just shove 60 gigs of RAM in one of these just to see what happens. And
I like it.
We'll go from there.
A new Frankenbeast.
Yeah. And then I got that Intel GPU since we talked last.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that's gonna be yet. We'll see.
I still didn't know that Intel made their own GPUs. I don't know why, but I just had no idea that they made their own.
They started COVID-ish, I feel like. When you like couldn't find a graphics card at all anywhere for a while. It was somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh, okay. So that's also much newer than I thought.
Yeah. And so I have is it an A750, maybe? Is that what it is? I have their base card I picked up then, and that ended up in what is now Catherine's gaming computer. If you want a card to do 1080p, they are great. And they are about the best value proposition for 1080p at this point, I think.
Okay.
Same with the newer one, too. They're just hard to find.
That makes sense. That feels like fallout from them getting absolutely bodied by everyone else in the processor game. And then I imagine them no longer being the processor company of choice for all Apple computers also had a pretty major dent in the pocketbook.
Yeah, your processor was actually the problem. That series with their overheating.
Yes.
Low level code issue.
Yep. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whoops. Whoops.
Whoops.
Whoops. Now it doesn't work.
So yeah, I don't know. I have more Intel graphics cards than anything else now in this house, I think. We'll see if those go. I don't know. It's somewhere between a backup and we've talked about needing a dedicated stream machine, so it might be that.
That sounds all right. Yeah.
Yeah, someday we'll figure that out. I'm kind of leaning towards just building another machine and making it like my Linux test bed to see how that goes.
There you go. See, I need to follow along your Linux journey.
I know, because you don't want to have to do it yourself.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a lot of my projects are things you don't want to have to do yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to worry about what distro I use, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just want you to do it.
Yeah. So the problem is when you let me do it is I'm going to pick something incredibly stable that never needs to be touched again, because I don't want to actually do it either.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I like to fiddle, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incompatible yet again.
Yeah, we look for different things in software, I've noticed. Throughout this process.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
But that's anyway, spice of life. Yeah. That's the fun.
Yeah. There's your tech update.
Jesus.
Put up those C stands finally.
Those were really good. C stands.
Yeah, I should have bought more of those. That's the first thing I've purchased that is like a, I think maybe above prosumer.
Interesting.
As a tier listing. Yeah. Yeah, they're maybe the most, some of the most confident things I own at this point.
Huh. Okay. And you got one or two?
I got two.
Two. Okay. And you still think you needed more?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Not less than four would be like
ideal.
The problem was they were such a good deal that it scared me off a little bit.
Like untrustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you see something come down that starts at a pretty high price for an item to begin with and then is debuting at 66% off and has no reviews because it's a new item. I was like, I don't, could be junk. Yeah, and I don't return things. No. It's not part of my life. That's not how I make purchases.
How many computers you got again?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, most of those are bought used. Yeah, if I buy the wrong thing, then I've purchased the wrong thing, and now it's in my house.
Yeah, you gotta live with it.
Yeah, that's how that process goes. So I was like, okay, two. Two is the hedge amount, because like one's the wrong, odd number of stands seems silly to me.
Yeah.
Since they're supposed to hold like lighting equipment of some kind, either reflectors or that kind of thing.
So yeah.
Typically, those are going to be done in pairs. But
makes sense. You got one to hold stuff and one to shoot lights from. That just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how those go, and maybe I'll talk you into buying some C stands.
Oh, I mean, I am not currently in the market for a C stand, but I am always looking at C stands and also lights, because I spent too many of my formative years doing things with lights, and now
you're welcome.
Now here we are.
Yeah, look at that. You could have said no 20 years ago.
Yeah, fuck me, I guess.
Yeah.
Now I care about lights. My concept of how audio technology works is analog and based on patch bays.
You're welcome again.
Yeah, thanks. It's been ruining me for the past 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're...
Exactly. And now we can ruin you with deciding what Linux distro you use.
Ubuntu has been the go-to so far. But
is Debian one? Is that
Debian
something?
Debian is one, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the vocab chart.
Ask me anything about Linux. Yep. You got Ubuntu into your Debian, and you do a flip-flop floodle in the terminal, and...
Yep.
There you go, bash script.
Wave at that little penguin and...
Yeah, sudo.
There you go. Nailed it.
Nice.
You'll be wearing overalls in no time.
Well, I think I've run out of Linux words then.
That's about as far as
I go.
Do you have words about anything else?
I do have some words about other things, actually, now that you say it. Hey, welcome to the 70% Complete Podcast. This is a show where we talk about Linux distros. We talk about computers, lots of computers actually, mm-hmm. more than eight. We talk about auction strategies and how to purchase a computer on the internet, and also how not to purchase a computer on the internet.
Yeah. Well, no, they did purchase it, unfortunately. They exceedingly successfully purchased that computer.
No one super that computer.
Yeah.
But we also have some fun, and we chit chat about video games. It's a show where the topic is the tangent, and as you can tell from the good old clock on this episode hitting 30 minutes already as I end the intro, is this a tangent topic?
We haven't done this in a while.
We haven't. No.
So it's gonna be like this.
Yeah. I have a topic, but guess what? I bet that's gonna be for next episode. I kind of wanted to just check in with you because we did the Night Rain episode a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
now.
We did. Yep.
And we have played more Night Rain after that. So I kind of want to talk about Night Rain a little bit, see if we have any different thoughts. I have also finished a Vigi game called Blasphemous, which will be a future topic on this show, but I kind of want to just talk through some of that because I think
sure.
I think you will like that. That's basically what I had going.
Okay.
I don't know if you've gone back and played anything other than that recently.
I mean, yeah, but like not usefully. So
cool.
As is tradition.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been in the RuneScape mines again.
No.
Interesting.
No. That's been back. See, the problem with RuneScape is I know anytime I go back to it, it will fully consume me until it releases its hold.
Okay.
Which I don't have a lot of control over. So you got to really weigh those out.
Do you have control over when it releases its hold also?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. So typically I'll set a long-term goal. And usually I'll hit that and then dip out for 6 to 12 months.
And is that like hitting a new level on a skill, or is that acquiring an item? Like what's that look like?
Usually it'll be bigger. So like the first real big Barrow's gloves as an item, getting the quest cape the first time was another one that knocked me out of it for like a year. Which now I probably have 30 quests to do again. The most recent one was beating the gauntlet.
Oh yeah.
Which is that little like semi-random generated kind of run-based mini game, combat mini game. That's pretty difficult. It's one of the more difficult things you can do.
Did you do the extra hard one too? I can't remember.
Yes, I started doing that as well.
Okay.
And I got through that once, and then I left. I did get the pet. I successfully beat it. I unlocked the pet on that one too.
Yeah. The like 1 in 3,000 chance or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have most of the pets from Prithinus, the elf area now. And I expected that to take me a very long time, and it took me like a week. It was not terrible. I've sorted it out pretty quick and have not been back since.
Interesting. Okay. So, and that was.
That's probably been close to a year now.
Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Geez.
I believe you. Yeah.
All right. So you're about due then.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. They're in the midst of implementing sailing currently.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Are you gonna hop in there when sailing comes out?
I mean, eventually.
Your sea legs, you sea dog.
I have looked at none of it pretty intentionally. I was not a fan of the early pitches, personally. I don't think it's going to be my thing, but time will tell.
Okay, but what if they add a new layer to the soundtrack that is sea shanties? Does that change your feeling?
There's already sea shanties. Sea Shanty 2. Already a banger track.
Sea Shanty 2.
No, does not. And it's many, many derivatives of Sea Shanty 2.
Like Sea Shanty 3 and 4?
I think there's a 3 in RS3, maybe. No, there's like one done in a minor key, which is really cool.
Okay.
You've definitely heard Sea Shanty 2 at this point.
I'm sure I have.
But there's no way
videos you have had me watch. I imagine there had to be one in there.
Sea Shanty 2 is one of the few things that occasionally escapes the RuneScape orbit and will make it into a video that somebody might accidentally see somewhere.
Amazing.
Sea Shanty's already deeply integral to the RuneScape experience.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
So maybe that was laying the groundwork, I suppose.
Like you already have the best thing.
Yeah.
Why get your sailing license?
Yeah. So it's already done. It's already there.
Hmm. Do you think there's going to be like new sailing armor that's just a polo with a logo on it and some shoes?
Some flat shoes. Yeah. I mean, maybe, actually. I don't know.
I guess they're Brits, though, right? So maybe they're leaning less Ivy League and more like chimney sweep. That's all England is, right? It's chimney sweeps.
I feel like I'm not allowed to answer this question. I don't know. Are we? Where does this?
You know, listen, after Brexit, I kind of lost touch with what was going on over there.
That's fair. So yeah, no, not RuneScape. I have not touched RuneScape. I reinstalled 2017 Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, right. I forgot that this was happening. Yes. Okay.
Which then led to me reinstalling Fallen Order.
Fallen Order. So interesting.
So okay. I'm like 10 hours into a second playthrough of that now.
So you finished it the first time you played it?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't want to say 100%ed it, but I did a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you playing it on Souls-like difficulty, or are you playing on it in action game difficulty?
In between the two.
Okay. Okay.
One above normal. Jedi Knight, I think, is the label.
Sure. And you're having fun
with
it?
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah. I recently burned through, like, all of A More Civilized Age.
Okay.
The podcast.
Highly recommend.
Like,
good podcast.
In, like, a week, give or take, something like that. I don't know. Catherine and I were watching Clone Wars way back when, so I was following through with our watch through.
Okay.
And then life happened, and Catherine and I stopped watching Clone Wars and have not made it back to it yet.
That's okay. They haven't either, so.
Yeah. No, they've finished Clone Wars and Rebels now, both.
They have the last season of Clone Wars left.
I think. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, like, yeah. The orphaned season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They finished it.
Basically. I don't know when they will ever return. They had an interesting conversation about covering active Star Wars things currently that made it seem like that's not happening.
We will see.
Is that so? Was A More Civilized Age the catalyst for going to Battlefront and Fallen Order? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been kicking around. So Battlefront was one of the first Wednesday games.
Yeah.
Nick and I put some time into that. Like,
it's a good game.
At least triple digit hours, I would say.
Jeez. Okay.
Because that was our fallback game from PUBG, was doing co-op runs on Battlefront 2. Because there were some nights that PUBG was not a good time.
Yeah.
Either for, like, server reasons or just some nights we would just get clapped. And I was like, okay, let's go do a thing with a little more consistent experience on the fun meter. So that's how we ended up there. That game and that game recently hit new highest concurrent players.
Is it new lifetime peak? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
It like definitely was flying up the charts to the point where people were talking about, hey, are they gonna get back together and make another one of these?
They're not. Yeah.
No, they're definitely not. No, thank you.
And if they are, it's not going to be what you want it to be. Like, that game was not what you wanted it to be.
Correct.
Until they got bullied into it.
Yes, by the European Union.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, and we lost all that ground anyway. They could release that game today in its original form, and it would not be controversial in the least, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. But so you stuck around with Battlefront and then jumped over to Fallen Order just to get your lightsaber on?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I've been meaning to do the sequel. But that thing requires hard drive space that I don't currently have access to until another hard drive shows up later this week.
okay, so soon.
Yeah. That thing's been sitting in a cart for 4 months now.
Okay.
So, and sitting in a cart in my head significantly longer. the problem is my unpopulated M.2 slot on this motherboard is behind the GPU.
And
I really don't like taking a GPU out if I can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when expensive mistakes happen.
Yes.
It's when you have to touch that thing. And like when a computer's working, I don't particularly like making it not work.
Yeah, there's no reason to take it apart.
Exactly.
Yep.
I've done it a lot. I like theoretically have all of the knowledge and tools required for this to be a very simple process, but I've also done it enough times to know that will not be the case every time.
Yep.
So it's been, yeah, I've got a NVMe in this and a hard disk right now, and I got a second NVMe. So once I get that, then I will probably install the sequel. That thing's almost 160 gigs.
If I remember correctly, that game is much bigger in scope than the first one is also.
Oh, that's... I don't know if we need to keep doing that.
It's like, it feels mostly fine, I would say. Unfortunately, the second game caters to my Fumblefuck sensibilities. The general setup of that is like a hub and spoke game. So you have a main planet that you will kind of open world around, and then you'll go to other places on that planet or other planets and get new skills that will allow you to do more stuff on the main planet. So it's like kind of pretty well gated, but it does mean that you are fumble fucking around for outfits, and they get rid of the poncho customization. That you can have more outfits now and different hairs. So
okay,
you know, it's a fashion
poncho
game.
Was lacking in my
yeah
mind in the first one.
Yeah, poncho is one of many options instead of what color poncho would you like.
Yeah, which is wild because the like the base like outfit costume for Cal in that first one, they spent time on that.
Yep.
Like there is a lot of there's a lot going on in those textures for those fabrics, and then almost all of the customization options are like, what if we put a blanket on it?
Yep.
And it was just like a polygon instead of this double stitch doublet under a leather vest with all of this wear pattern on it. What if we gave you a blanket?
What if you didn't see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like it could have just been a thing where there were three outfits, like the beginning one and then the poncho. And then when he takes off the poncho for the final thing and he's like,
yeah,
dirty, but has a cool outfit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't do that, unfortunately.
No, they sure didn't.
But instead, they let you get the Han Solo boots and all the Han Solo stuff in the new game. So, you know, there you go. That might require additional DLC, though, if I remember right. Mm. So,
I've read the PC port is not phenomenal either, which has me a little concerned.
I think that was a problem with the first game, too, though. So if it's working all right for you now, I'm sure that it's been 2 years. I think it's hopefully better
yeah.
now.
Yeah. But they were like, they wanted to make a sequel for the first one, which usually means they'll fix the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to make a sequel, I'm less convinced that they will have adequately fixed the game.
Yeah, I'm curious. They left it on a big cliffhanger, so okay. Hopefully they're gonna make another one. We should wait until you play that game and maybe finish it, because I have some very strong thoughts about that game. I'm just gonna seed this in your mind. My strong thoughts have a lot to do with the film Point Break.
Okay.
You just kind of come back to that in your own time.
What about Bad Boys 2?
Not Bad Boys 2, unfortunately. Okay. No, it has no Bad Boys 2 in it, only Point Break.
Only Point Break, okay.
Only Point Break, yeah.
And that, it would have taken me a long time to get to Point Break.
I don't think it will.
If I had to, well, going in blind, I would not have assumed Point Break.
One of the main characters' names is Bodhi.
Oh, huh, okay.
It's Point Break.
Is this game bad? Okay.
Yeah, good question.
Maybe I just replay the first one, because that one was fun.
The first one is fun. The second one is also fun. I will say it is fun. I will also say that the ending, like, fifth of the second game just really doesn't work for me. Because
that's a bummer.
They try to do the thing where they're like, surprise, thing happens. And you're like, yeah, dude, I've seen the film Point Break. I know how this goes. Like, you can't just call a guy that and then not do it. So, yeah. You know, there's some fun stuff in there.
Okay. We'll see if that ever happens.
Yeah, it's a good time. I enjoyed it. I spent far too much time in that game trying to do all the platforming challenges and stuff, but generally it was a good time. All right,
then let's see. Night Rain. We did.
Yeah, Night Rain.
I've okay, so I have now, when we last talked on pod, at least, I think I had just beaten one Night Lord.
I think
one
so.
Of eight.
I think it was right after you beat the first one.
Yeah. Okay. So I've now cleared 6 of 8, and I've only tried those 6. I haven't tried the last 2 yet.
Okay.
Most of those I beat on the first through third try.
Interesting. Okay. So the strategy has remained the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still Iron Eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Still solo Iron Eye. I very consistently hit like level 14, sometimes 13, sometimes 15, with fully upgraded weapons. I don't think my thoughts have changed much. I still think it's insane that you can't filter items by damage type.
Yeah, fair enough.
That makes my brain hurt when I try to imagine how they got there. But yeah, we'll see. I don't even know if I'll kill those last 2. I guess I probably should, just to say I did. But
yeah, and then you gotta do the nightfall. You gotta do the nightfall. I don't know if I do. Is there a good incentive for doing that?
So there's a second item shop that opens up with another currency that you only get from those fights.
Interesting. Okay. And what's in there?
You're still just getting really good runes out of... You're just going to win harder if you manage to clear those.
Huh.
The numbers will go up. But there's still, like, there's not a... I guess I haven't touched it in 3 weeks now.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, same.
Since, whenever we last played it, I think. Maybe I've done 1 or 2 runs since then, but... yeah, so there's that second item shop, but there's still no, like, dust system to get rid of, or to like, turn bad relics into good ones.
Yeah.
There's no way
to
get
them,
a
right?
thing that you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Yeah. I have not changed my mind really about that at all. I think the core gameplay loop, if you find it fun, there is plenty of fun to be had with that game. For a certain type of person, it will suck them in, and this is the only thing they'll do for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I think if you are more casual in any way, you will bounce off of it pretty hard unless you have someone kind of holding your hand through it.
Yeah, but it also seems like, just from your experience there, that, like, you haven't been forced to change your strategy at all, right? Like, you're still making your way through this game, succeeding based on the first success that you had with the first boss.
Yeah, my rough meta game process, like, for the overworld areas, is basically the same since I pegged it the first time. And I've killed that first boss. I'm like 15 for 15 on it.
Yeah.
Something like that. In the double digits, once I beat it once, I have not died to that thing again.
Interesting. Which I guess that's the Souls thing, right? Like, once you understand how the boss works, that's why you defeat the boss once and it disappears. Or that's why they, you know, you defeat this boss and then they come back 12 hours later and you already know some of those patterns. And then they add some new ones, but it doesn't sound like, unless there is changes in the Nightfall or whatever, it doesn't sound like there is much evolution there that's kind of pushing you forward.
Not at all. I mean, there's the, like, Shattering Earth, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Where the map, sections of the map will change to various biomes that they normally aren't. But you can turn that off, essentially.
Yeah, you just go sleep in the bed.
Yeah, so if you don't want to engage with that, you don't have to. But yeah, my basic strategy has not changed much. I've fine-tuned it a bit. But other than that, there's nothing that forces you into a different gameplay style.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a $40 game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess that's kind of the best way to put it. It seems both kind of surprising and also not surprising that that's how this game has shook out. Like it is a very good one of those, but besides it being a three-player co-op game where you move a little bit faster, it's still Elden Ring. It doesn't have any of that special multiplayer sauce on it that I kind of had expected it to have.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's necessarily a very good one of those. I think people find the combat in FromSoft games compelling, and they've managed to not screw that up. I mean, bows are fun, more fun than they are in Elden Ring.
That's
for sure.
True. Yeah.
They did that. But yeah, like the other night when we were all playing, there were very noticeably dropped inputs. I've had that happen as a solo player very frequently as well, which makes those games frustrating in ways that they don't need to be.
Yes. It's like a fighting game problem. Like if the netcode is bad, then that game is no longer fun to play.
Yeah, and that's when you stop playing PUBG and you go play co-op in Battlefront instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Because PUBG's being a dick and you just don't want to deal with it. So I reinstalled Battlefront. maybe that's how I got there, actually. I don't know.
Yeah. Having a bad time? Play some Battlefront.
Play some Battlefront. Just be Obi-Wan Kenobi and whack some droids with a stick for a while.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
He'll do quips. It'll be fine.
He'll do quips.
Just don't think about any of the things too much.
No. Don't think about the themes when you're playing Battlefront. That's against the whole thing.
No. Yeah, don't try. Yep. Yeah, we won't go down that path right now.
No.
That'll be it. That's yep.
That's
focus.
Go listen.
We can't do our droids
age.
People. Yeah. We can't do that today.
No. I guess, like, speaking of the combat being tight and fun, I guess that now's a good time to bring up Blasphemous, the latest video game I've been playing. I don't know. Have I talked to you at all about this game?
Not functionally, no.
Okay.
No more than what you covered in the intro here today. Okay. So,
I think I
threatened
this come
you
from? With a Codex episode, but
it
came from so very very long story short. I really want to get into Metroidvanias. But I have not found one. Yeah, because it feels like it feels kind of up there with something like a Final Fantasy or like a just like one of those big things that looms so large in video games that I just like.
Okay, so you feel obligated to get into Metroidvanias in a way.
A little bit, and kind of from the point of view of that, like at this point, there are so many of these damn games that it feels like there needs to be at least one of them that can kind of get me into the headspace of it. And I feel like I've tried for years now. Like, I remember playing Hollow Knight at least 5 years ago now, I think. And it just, like, really not hitting for me. And then I've gone back, I've played Dead Cells, and that didn't do it. I mean, not necessarily a Metroidvania in that kind of way, but like I've gone into games like Hyper Light Drifter. I've even gone back and played that funny handheld that I got last year. I started playing, Metroid Zero Mission, which is the remake of the first one. And then I started playing Metroid Fusion on like the Nintendo Switch Online service. And just something about all of them just doesn't really, it just doesn't work for me. And I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what is it that isn't working for me. And I don't have a very cogent answer to that. I think it's mostly just, I like my easy story video games. And if I don't have the carrot of a good, interesting story, then I just kind of bounce. Mechanics don't drive me forward, I guess, is maybe the reason that Metroidvanias don't really stick with me.
Similar to our software discussion, you look for different things than I do.
Exactly.
And yeah, I would not guess that this is a area that you would spend a lot of time in.
Not
for
really.
For the reasons you've outlined, and there's, yeah, it's, it seems like the exact, like, wrong kind of fumble-fucking.
Yes.
For what you do. This is orthogonal to your preferred version of fumble-fucking.
Yes. Do you have any, I feel like this falls much more in line with your genre of fumble-fucking. Like, do you have any experience with these games at all?
I had one or two Metroids on Game Boy Color.
Okay.
I want to say that I sunk a not insignificant amount of time into as a child.
Okay.
It's not a space I have played much in. Some Symphony of the Night, feel like.
That's the one.
A couple days into that. Yeah. But that's about it. This is not my area either. I have considered it many times, but it seems like I would need to sit down and really pour myself into one of these. Mm-hmm. It seems like the kind of thing that if I pulled up a guide and just kind of mainlined it through, that's maybe not the path that I would get the most enjoyment out of. So
yeah.
They're a bit of an ask to me, at least. Like, it seems like a thing that I'd have to really dig into.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I feel like that's kind of where I've bumped up against these two. Like, Hollow Knight is kind of the perfect example of that, where I feel like I have, with a lot of games, but specifically ones like this, where the whole point is the exploration and the discovery, I have this weird thing where I just don't want to look up the guide. Like, it feels like, not that I'm like cheating, but that I'm like, it's the closest I ever get to spoiler stuff in my mind.
Yeah.
Where I feel like
you're reading the end of a mystery.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. I follow you there for sure.
But I guess, like, all of this to say, I finally found one for me. It's, I fucking love this game. It's called Blasphemous. It is technically slightly less of a Metroidvania and more of a, like, a 2D side-scrolling Souls-like with Metroidvania mechanics, I guess. You, basically,
what are we doing?
It's stupid.
All these words aren't real.
Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious. You basically get items that you can slot into your reliquary that will allow you to, like, see invisible platforms or, like, grow these tree roots to get this jump or things like that. So it's less of, like, now you can shoot the super missile or whatever, and more of, you know, you kind of get to decide. I think you have, like, five different things that you can fit into your reliquary, and you can only carry three at a time. So you kind of have to, like, slot them in and out.
Okay. It's like a build aspect almost.
Yeah. But you can do it on the fly for most of the stuff, so it's not, like, terribly difficult.
Okay.
But so the thing I think that grabbed me the most is that this game is, it's death metal as hell.
Okay.
It's a really cool world that is, like, fantasy, Dark Souls-y inspired, but if you were to make Dark Souls through the lens of the Spanish Inquisition, like,
okay,
1600s Spanish Inquisition, like the real bad shit. And part of the reason it's going to be a Codex episode is that I think it just has a really cool world, and I'm playing through the second one right now, which is a whole other topic, because they changed so much between these two games, which is fascinating to me. But it's just like, it's a slow, deliberate one of these games. So instead of kind of sprinting from one side of the screen to the other, like you're typically taking your time, it's like a parry and block focus game where you kind of parry and block, and then you kind of punish with your sword, what is called mea culpa.
Rad. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You play as the penitent one. And the whole thing is that you have to go through the game world, defeat several bosses who are, they have been touched by the capital M miracle, and it has gone bad. And then you finish the game by killing the Pope. So I guess it has that in common with Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, right up your alley then.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really cool. Like I think it nails the Souls like storytelling, which is why I like it so much. I think where it's a lot of look at this weird shit that's going on. Oh, this guy's gonna say something cryptic. That's cool. Oh, I picked up this thing called sooty garlic. I think I have to give this to someone. But it does it in a way that is like not overly cryptic, because I think by abstracting it down to a 2D game means that there's not like a random space behind some dude that I need to go crouch. Like, I don't have to go talk to this bush to find out that it's a monkey hiding in plain sight that's going to let me change my clothes. Like, it's all on this 2D plane.
So it's like
a little bit easier,
vaguely legible and coherent
then. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then also I went through this game not with a like walkthrough guide, but I was very much not precious about looking stuff up when I needed to, which I think also really helped. That there's like really basic things, like if you find the sword shrine that allows you, like the number of sword shrines you find allows you to access additional level skills for your sword. But it also, each one of them you find increases the damage your sword does. So you can kind of, if you can hunt around for some of them, it allows you to kind of power level over some of the challenges that you're having. So it also let me do that where you can, it's not like a skip, but it's a way to
right.
like level past what some of the difficulties are. And it's just like, it looks rad. Like it's like dirty and dingy and gross. And you like kill the first boss and then you stab it with your sword. And then you fill your cup, your cone head helmet thing with its blood. And then you dump it on your head and then blood runs everywhere. It's just like the sickest shit of all time. And it was the most like, check out this cool edgelord game that I felt in a really long time. And it whips. It's great.
What are you playing?
I am playing it on the wrist destruction device that is my Nintendo Switch Lite.
Ooh, okay.
No performance problems, weirdly. It like generally works fine.
I might have to plug my Switch back in. This thing is currently on sale on the Nintendo store for $6.24.
Wait, it's still on sale?
Yeah, through 8/6/25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bought it for $6 because I was very on the fence of like which one of these games am I going to try next? And then I saw it was for $6 and I was like, "Well, I guess I will spend
that one."
Yeah, I will spend $6 on this and see what's up. It was so I think it took me around like 15-ish to maybe 20 hours to finish it completely.
Okay.
Which is it's pretty good size, and it didn't have the like backtracking problem that I feel like a lot of these games have. Like it was like I knew where I was going, and there's very easy ways to like, this is part of the guide stuff. Like if you, there's a thing where you donate money and then you get secret abilities based on how much money you donate, because surprise, it's a game about the church. And if you tithe,
we're doing
the church,
indulgences.
You get abilities.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So here's actually the good, all the church stuff here. So the best part, so it's a Souls-like game, right? Which means that when you die, you lose all your shit. And that's really frustrating and annoying. But
sure is.
Here's the thing. And this is why I've stuck with this game and have been very apprehensive about trying other ones that people compare this game to. When you die, you don't lose your currency. You just have it.
Okay.
So you're basically, what happens is you die, you keep all of your currency, and then you are afflicted with this thing called guilt.
Sure.
Fantastic. And that means it basically takes a little bit of your like magic bar away, so you can't do as much magic, and it also reduces the amount of points you can get until you go recover your guilt where you died. So there's like a little bit of a risk reward there. Okay. To like go back. But also there are places throughout the map where there are these things called confessors, and you just give them a little bit of that money and they make the guilt disappear.
Sure do.
Yep. You also, your magic is called doing a prayer. And that's like everything from make lightning rain down from the sky to doing a hyper beam to returning to the last prayer location that you had where you prayed to get your health back, which is cool.
How long before we just end up with like a Roman Catholic Codex episode?
I thought about
we're
it.
We're doing, man, the Crusades today.
The Crusades. I mean, yeah. That'll be the companion piece to when we eventually watch Kingdom of Heaven Director's Cut, a film that I have never seen, because I hear the Director's Cut is actually so much better than the actual movie that I have seen a lot. But yeah, that's good. We should do that. I mean, back to our like Manosphere Sphere Grid Final Fantasy skill list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another great improv exercise that only brings sadness.
That's what I'm here for.
But Blasphemous is good. It's like, it has a really good like Spanish classical soundtrack. So it's not, the pixel art is fucking incredible. But it doesn't have a like chiptune-y 6-bit or 18-bit, Jesus Christ, 16-bit soundtrack. It's just like really beautiful music. The bosses are insane. It's great. It has like a good, perfect mix of look at this fucked up stuff that's going on in this world, and then also there's a zone where you just get Castlevania enemies of like pictures with knives that come off the wall and attack you, so that's good. It's a really satisfying dash. Your charms, the charms that you pick up are beads for your rosary, so you have to find more rosary knots to do that. And then there's just like a bunch of, like, there's just good mythology in there. Like, there's stuff about, like, there is a person that you find towards the end of the game who someone prayed to the miracle for someone to take all of the agony of humanity away. And this person is now praying several years later, as the monkey's paw has curled, that there is one person who receives all of the agony of humankind.
Oh. Yeah, this is a well-known philosophical thought experiment.
Yeah, so I think you will enjoy a lot of this stuff.
Man, why can I not remember the origins of that? It's a utilitarian argument.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to do that episode soon.
We should do that. Yeah, it's a lot of the Leo pointing at the screen meme, but for Catholic concepts, which is fun. Just like, oh, I know what that's all about. I know what mea culpa means. I know what all these hymns mean. There's a lot of Latin. There's a lot of lore. And just nobody is having a good time. And then you kill the Pope. So, you know. The one thing I will say about this game that may be interesting to you or may turn you off from this like it did for me, there's two DLCs. One of them is platforming challenges that tie into the Bloodstained games, the games that I also looked at maybe doing. And then the second one is it's the like true ending DLC, basically. Like, you have to do all the normal game shit and then go to this end game level and then do the end game dungeon and then finish the game. And it is unfairly hard. Like, it is truly the most punishing thing that I have played in a video game, and I had to set limits for myself on how many attempts I would give the boss before I just turned it off and finished the game, because it was just not fun. Like, it was incredibly brutal for no reason.
Un- when you say unfair, in what can you elaborate, I guess, on what unfair and difficulty is in a game for you?
Yeah. So the curve in this game is it is a punishing game. Like you will mm-hmm. run up into enemies that will take a big old chunk of your health out. And then you have like the counter to that, which is take your flask or whatever, and then you can kind of heal up and hit them. There's like a slightly other ways to gain health back, but that's generally the best way to do it. For the most part, the damage that you deal and the damage that is dealt to you is like feels generally reasonable for grunt enemies to do, let's say, 1/10 to 1/8 of your health. And then depending on how much bigger they are, how much worse it gets, they kind of hit you. But it usually is, in the game at least, it's a good trade-off. Like you end up being in situations where you'll trade with an enemy just to make them die, and then you'll take that, you know, huge, you know, quarter to a fifth chunk of your health just to like finish it off. The part where it becomes makes me feel it's unfair is that the DLC zone specifically that is meant to come out after you have probably played the game the first time, it just like is an order of magnitude more punishing than the rest of the game. Like, for instance, I defeated the last two bosses on the second and third attempt, respectively. I was not able to do probably 1/5 of the health on the two end game bosses that I could get to right away after probably 2 hours of banging my head against it for each. And like the grunt enemies are like, I have to use my big prayer ability that damages the hell out of things. And I still have to have all of my rosary beads buffing those in order to take out the grunt enemies for the most part. Like it turned into like when I was saying earlier that the game isn't necessarily a sprint from one side of the screen to the other. Like it turned into a platforming challenge for me to just like get through this incredibly crazy, like electric lightning tripwire zone just to get to the shrine at the end and hope that I can kind of chain my way to the shrine in front of the boss to do this. And then the boss in that area is you have to climb up a ladder that has a pixel perfect timing challenge in order to get to the boss.
Right.
And that will chip down half your health probably by the time you get up there. It's it feels not fair because it is like literally an order of magnitude and mm-hmm. more punishing in that the grunt enemies and even like the stronger enemies you fight in the main game will take, you know, we'll say the harder ones will take like 5 or 6 hits from your sword for them to go down, and they'll like probably do like less than a quarter hit to your health when they hit you. The end game enemies, they take probably closer to 16 hits to actually knock them out and kill them. And in the meantime, they are hitting you for a quarter or more of your health. And that's like fully maxed out end game build. And it's just like, this is not, it's no longer about like the fun of it. It's just like, can you counter this guy who throws an anchor in the air that swings around in a way that is not quite decipherable, all for, you know, the output is not the same, because again, you keep your currency because the currency is only used to add more abilities to your sword. It's not adding strength or anything. Like the damage output is capped on your sword. You cannot get past this. Yeah, that's kind of what I mean by unfair. Like it just is completely out of scale with the rest of the game.
Yeah. So does this replace like a traditional New Game Plus? Or it sounds like this was made to satisfy the perverts.
Yeah. So yes. And that's why I bailed. I was like, this is clearly not made for me. But there is a New Game Plus in there that does the Souls-like New Game Plus, where it does the opposite of what I want a New Game Plus to do, where it's you get to keep most of your shit, but also now it's way harder.
Yeah.
Which is not what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second game is interesting because so the other thing about the DLC is that you have to defeat those two very hard bosses in order to get the true secret ending of the game, which is one of the only things about this game that has really frustrated me. I feel like you shouldn't do that. Like, you shouldn't lock it behind. You shouldn't hide the real ending of your video game behind a skill check that is just so out of line with what you've been up to the entire time. But, you know, that's just me.
That seems weird from a production standpoint as well. So was that ending not available at launch then?
Correct, yeah. And that, I think that's why it's like a new game plus for the sickos thing.
So they finished the game and then made a new real end to it via DLC after releasing the fake end for it?
Yes. Yeah, I guess, like, with the true ending out, there's a medium ending and a bad ending, and then the true ending is kind of like the, you know, quote-unquote good ending, as good as it can get, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that they put it out not, like, substantially after the game came out. Okay. Yeah, so actually it did come out substantially afterwards. It came about 2 years after the initial release. Of the game itself. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Like, here it is. You've been playing this game for too long.
Mm.
Now it's time for the real ending.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, though, it's a simple enough thing where it's just really good motion pixel art endings. And they are like 3 minutes long each. So you just look them bad boys up and it's not a problem.
That seems like the way to go at the end there, at least.
If yeah,
not in for the long haul.
No, I was not in for the long haul. And then I booted up the second one for the first time the other night, and that is like, it's a fully different game. Like, it's like still kind of a deliberate Souls-like game, but there's 3 to 4 different new weapons. You play as the same character. There are like people who are very clearly telling you what your objective is. It's wild. It like gets you right into it in a way that is fun for someone who has just finished the first game, but also feels like a grown up version of what Blasphemous 1 was doing in an interesting way. I don't have a real opinion yet, but I think I'm only like an hour and a half into it. But it's a cool game. I heartily recommend people check out Blasphemous 1, especially if it is still $6. Like, that is an absolute steal for that game. It was a blasty blast, especially if you are a big fan of the death metal vibes this thing gives off.
Yeah,
it's like real dark fantasy. Yeah, it's there's a lot of things that are bleeding from weird places, and like a lot of fun like church symbolism and how they use it in a very interesting kind of way. And like, they're very forthright with it too. Like, if you go to the wiki, they'll like have mentions of like, this one's probably based on this Bible story, or this one's probably based on this saint, or this mm-hmm. lore is mm-hmm. referencing like this particular event that happened. So they're not hiding it, which is nice.
Yeah. They spent some time thinking about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Here's another way to play this that I have to assume would be crushing. You can play this on your phone with on-screen controls.
What?
It's $8 in the Google Play Store right now. It looks like it's available for iOS as well.
Oh, don't do that.
That seems rough.
Oh, that's so bad. Yeah, don't do that. I can't imagine trying to play this game in like worst case scenario with two thumbs. Like, there's a lot of movement and dashing while you attack, and like having to use the same thumb I use to move to also pop a potion sounds like an absolute nightmare. That's terrible. You should never do that.
There's a screenshot for you with that on-screen joystick.
No, that's so bad. The scenario that is happening on this screen right now mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. absurd, and you should never be in this part of this game with only two flasks and looks like no health upgrades. Yeah, this is nuts. So you have jump and dash and sword strike and parry all on one thumb, and then movement is on the other. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's bad. You should not play Blasphemous on a mobile device, especially if that mobile device is charging you more than it is currently on sale. That's just bad economics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, assuming you have a Switch, at least.
Assuming, yes.
If you don't have a Switch, then this is your next cheapest at the moment. It is gamepad compatible, it looks like, on mobile. So okay.
It is also on Steam, which seems like it has pretty good reviews as well. So I know that they're running Blasphemous 2 on pretty deep sale on Steam during the summer sale, which I almost also got there. But I picked up the second one on Switch because that's where I was with the first one, and I thought that muscle memory would matter, and it turns out it doesn't because they completely changed the controls. Yep. 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 There's some like really kooky changes that they made where the pop your potion was the left bumper, and now it is the whatever is in the triangle slot on a controller. So that's fun. That's a good switch. Because that used to be interact, and now it's pop a potion, a thing that you only have one or two of at the beginning. So that's good. That hasn't screwed me yet. Yeah, it's a kooky change, and the menus look way better, and the animation is I guess related as we kind of like wrap this up. I guess I watched the protracted long history of the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings movie, the Folding Ideas video. And the animation in Blasphemous 2 looks shockingly similar to the, like, not the rotoscoped.
Yeah. Over, yeah.
It's...
Yeah, over, like...
It's good.
Poorly color-corrected, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, slightly... I don't know if it's actually rotoscoped. It looks animated, but it's very clearly in a, like, 1980s D&D cartoon style instead of the like very clearly pixel art style of the first one. But it's funny. I enjoy those games. They are good fun, and I have not looked at all if the developer is still around or not, because that would only make me sad. But I will be buying a poster from one of these games because the art just absolutely kicks ass. It's so good. There's a print that I saw that is an upside down cathedral coming from the sky, and just a dude looking up at the wild shit that's happening in front of him. I am super into just the general art design of this game in general. It's so good.
It See looks like it is on Good Old Games for $6.24 as well. Oh, so if you want it on PC for $6, there you go. 2 days left on that one at time record, so by the time this is out, that'll probably be gone.
DRM-free version.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'll get it, probably.
Oh.
Hmm.
Which,
maybe we do something dumb with that.
That seems fun. This Blasphemous also falls within the realm of second game that I have made a 3D printed object from. So I have a little figure of the Penitent One on my shelf now.
Little cone-headed guy.
Yeah, little cone-headed guy. He's pretty rad. He does a lot of murder. Look at this art.
Well, cool. This is a thing.
Oh yeah. It's all good.
It's a very vibes-based game.
Yeah. It is like super super vibes, and like the backgrounds are just all absolutely stunning. So, it's just a beautiful game to look at, and then also it's like, it's complicated enough, like there's enough going on where you're like, okay, do I block this? Like, do I get my parry timing down? Like, do I jump out of the way? Do I dash? Like, all of that stuff. Like, you have a lot of tools at your disposal. But once you, I guess, like back to Night Rain, like once you get it down and like know how to defeat this one particular enemy, you can kind of just breeze through it. And then the game just gives you more tools to hit them harder so you defeat them faster, which is good.
Well, cool. I will check this out, I think.
Heck yeah. For $6, everyone should.
Yeah. I mean, I'll buy it on GOG here either way. And we'll see if or when I get to it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a follow-up.
This one, I bet, does not require 120 gigabytes of NVMe storage.
doesn't even require one.
No, there you go. That's clean living right there. All right. I think that will do it for this this Codex episode on Nuka World. Thank you for joining.
Yep, nailed it.
I remember telling you that, oh yeah, first segment we'll talk about Blasphemous and Night Rain, and then we'll get right into the meat of it. And instead,
yeah,
we talked about auction strategies and RuneScape.
We didn't even talk about all my frogs that I have now.
Oh, we simply do not have time to talk about the frogs.
I know. I'm not gonna.
Ugh. Yes, thank you for listening to this wonderful 70% complete podcast. If you like the show, share it with a friend. That's kind of the best way to get the show out there. We've had some good people stopping by listening to this and listening to Point to Point, the other show that I do where I talk to you during my morning commute. You, as in the capital U people listening.
Not you.
That would be maddening, I bet. I'm also playing through Atomic Heart, a video game that we will be talking about later as I get further into that nightmare of a video game. It's real bad and also real good, and I hate that. Otherwise, just go to 70%complete.com. That's the website. Find all of our links there. You can see where our Twitch stuff is, YouTube, video essays coming out. I have one on South of Midnight I'm working on, which will be out hopefully next week, but we will see. I think that's it. Do you have anything else you would like to add to the end of the show here, Logan?
No.
Okay.
No, we should go. It's getting late.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on another episode of the 70% Complete Podcast.
Bye.